You're listening to A Single Girl's Guide to Food, Drink, and Travel with host Nancy Jo Saper.
Hi, everyone. I recently took my first trip to Cambria, California. It's such a lovely place, and I'm going to share about my experiences with you today. We're also going to be talking with Rini Lin of Lin's Restaurant. It's a really great place, and I had a really fun time there. I also took home some goodies. Their preserves are phenomenal, and they have boxes of her recipes, such as scones, pumpkin bread. So I made the pumpkin bread and I added a little bit extra cinnamon because I like that spice, some dates and raisins. And let me tell you, Tyler, it's a winner, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, pretty special. So stay tuned. We're just about to start. This segment of A Single Girl's Guide to Food, Drink, and Travel brought to you by Conundrum Wines. For those of you who are unaware of Cambria, California, let me just give you a little idea of this picturesque, free of chain stores and chain restaurants town. It is a lovely place to visit. Quiet, you have the ocean air, and you can walk around Moon Beach. They have fabulous hiking trails, and the people are obviously incredibly friendly in a town this size. I stayed at Fogcatcher Inn, which is right across the street from Moonstone Beach, and it is in between this road, highway, whatever you want to call it, but it's so open in regards to traffic that they don't even have a stoplight. You just walk across and there you are at Moonstone Beach. The waves are crashing, so with the room right across the street, you go to sleep with the sound of it, which I love. I love sleeping to the sounds of the ocean. And the walks and hikes are picturesque with pines, and individuals are walking, holding hands, and it's quaint and peaceful, and it just takes you back to a time that I don't think I ever lived in, but relished as far as a small town community. And everyone is so nice, as you can probably imagine. Fogcatcher Inn is a quaint place that has a really great atmosphere. There's these little rooms, this little garden area. They serve a complimentary breakfast in the morning. They have a fall sale stay right now, and you can save 15%. Or if you stay three nights, you can save 20%. If you look online, it's one of individuals' favorite places to stay, and I can see why. It has a fireplace, and it's just a cozy place to stay. Fogcatcher Inn is at fogcatcherinn.reservations.com or pacificahotels.com. You can also check out Fogcatcher Inn on Facebook. Another really unique and special place there is the Hearst Castle, which right now is having their holiday twilight tours, which means you can go at night. You can experience all of this grandeur in the evening for a tour, or you can go on their holiday tour, which is just happening obviously during the holidays, and that is celebrating the special places and rooms that the Hearst did in their time. So if you're interested in checking out this incredible castle and a historic place to visit, it's hearstcastle.org, and obviously they're all over Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, etc. if you want to see some mind-blowing pictures of what the Hearst Castle is all about. A place that I ate dinner, which really was a pleasure, is Indigo Moon Restaurant. Owner Jay and Dina started it out as a wine and cheese shop. Jay is a chef, and they really like dining al fresco. That's what they brought to Cambria. It's indoor and outdoor dining, so you can dine in the garden. It's open for lunch and dinner and has a fabulous brunch. But we went for dinner, and I got to tell you, I was so impressed. Their fig and olive tapenade with a brie crostini was just the right hit for an appetizer. Obviously, the wines that they have in Cambria and Paso Robles in that area are unique and fantastic to that region. They have a great array that you can choose from. They have everything from a wild mushrooms pancetta, sherry cream, and a puff pastry to a yam and goat cheese wonton, tempura prawns with peanut noodles and Asian slaw, or the crispy blue crab cakes with chili lime sauce, which are filled abundantly with crab. Their salads are decadent, and I'm saying decadent for a salad with pistachio-crusted goat cheese, baby greens, ruby red grapefruit, cucumbers, spiced pistachios, and a Meyer lemon champagne vinaigrette is just one of them. Their entrees are everything from grass-fed ribeye steak, flat iron steak, and we had the New Zealand full rack of lamb with a fig Cabernet sauce and creamy polenta. The polenta was divine, so creamy and just beautiful against that perfectly cooked medium rare lamb. None of their meats have any antibiotics. They're all hormone free, and the quality of the food is so nice and fresh, and the owners are so fun. They were great to talk to. I could have had Jay just sit down, have a glass of wine, and join us. It's a real treat. So when you're in Cambria and you're looking for a nice place for dinner that has the quality that you're looking for with a relaxed atmosphere, check out Indigo Moon and tell Jay or Dina that Nancy Joe sent you. I also want to recommend that in December, they're creating a wine and cheese shop next to Indigo Moon, and it's going to have olives and special olive oils and charcuterie and a variety of exotic cheeses. So you can create a picnic, take it to Moonstone Beach. If you want more information, check out Indigo Moon at indigomoonrestaurant.com. Our guest today is newly near and dear to my heart. Rennie Lynn of Lynn's Restaurant, which she and her husband John own, is adorable. And the food is home style with amazing pies, preserves, etc. that you can buy also at their fruit bin, which is in the garden. There are so many delightful choices on their menu, and Rennie is a kick. You'll see.
Conundrum has been turning winemaking on its head for 25 years. Hi, I'm Charlie Wagner, and my family started making Conundrum when I was about 7 as a kid growing up in Napa Valley. My grandpa Charlie, a founder of Camus Vineyards, would mix wines at the family dinner table. That was unheard of back then. I've always been drawn to how Conundrum pushed the envelope. Conundrum White is a great versatile wine that can be served as an aperitif with Asian foods, salmon, or spicy foods. You can be creative to find your favorite pairing. Conundrum Red came on board in 2009. I really enjoy pairing it with richly flavored or spicy foods like spaghetti bolognese, Indian cuisine, smoked meats, barbecue, or my personal favorite, Mexican food. Don't be afraid to chill it down the way I like to enjoy it. Conundrum is about doing things your own way, and you will find both wines widely distributed at your favorite store or restaurant. We hope you enjoy our wines. For more info, go to WagnerFamilyOfWine.com.
When I went to Cambria, I looked up where I was supposed to eat online, and what I kept getting time after time, page after page, was you have to go to Lynn's, and that's exactly what I did, and it was more than I ever expected. And talking with us is co-owner Rennie Lynn of Lynn's Restaurant. Hey, Rennie.
Hi. How are you, Dancy Joe?
I'm great. It was such a great time meeting your husband, your son, who's the general manager of the restaurant, getting to see your unique shops, and obviously to come out to the farm, to the fruit bin. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your getting started. I know that you and John met your college sweethearts at the University of Kansas, and how I came upon knowing that you are also a Kansas thoroughbred, should I say?
Yes.
On your menu, I looked and saw spare ribs. That I love barbecue ribs, but I don't eat them unless I'm in Kansas City. So I asked Aaron, I asked your son, so tell me about your ribs. And he goes into this story about how, well, my mom's originally from Kansas City and her family owns McGonagall's, which is like the highest, finest meat you can get. You know, she grew up in that atmosphere. And As soon as he said that, I was on the floor. When you go to Cambria, how many people are you going to meet that are from your hometown?
Not too many.
So, of course, I ordered the spare ribs right away. And, you know, that's where it began for me. But tell me how it began with you, you know, deciding that you and your husband were going to, you know, move from Kansas City to a smaller place. And you wanted to create a business that included your family.
Nancy, Joe, you just kind of said it all. We had a dream. We had a dream when we were at the University of Kansas to move to a rural environment. And actually, our recreation was driving out to the small towns in Kansas, and we admired the farming operations. And neither of us were farmers. We both were raised in the city. I was raised in Kansas City, as you said, and my husband from Los Angeles, Orange County, more specifically. And we just, it was coming out of the late 60s, and we just had this kind of idealistic view of back to the land and raising our kids side by side, working side by side. And it evolved from that after we attended a wedding of one of John's high school buddies out here in Cambria. We fell in love with the place. We went back to then our residence in Denver, Colorado, and ended up buying the property over the phone, taking a really bold step into the unknown.
Right.
So it was, you do things like that when you're young because you think you can. And I still think I can, even though I'm older, but it's an attitude. And I think we just were very persistent and we persevered and we have built a pretty amazing business. I have to catch myself sometimes and think of what we have done. Not to be egotistical, but it's just very many faceted.
Yes. Well, and I would call it more an empire than just a business with the fruit bin, with the restaurant, your farm, all the shops, your mail order business. I think you've done quite well, especially that you began by picking fresh berries and vegetables in 1979 to where you are now is amazing. And I understand from what I read that when you first started crafting pies, that you did each one yourself and you didn't even have a mixer? Is this correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was very persistent. And actually, pie crust, you don't want to overhandle anyway, but
right.
We have figured out a way to put it in a mixer and it comes out beautifully. I'm sure you tasted our pies when you were here.
As many as I could.
That's right.
So you grew up in a family where the best was, you know, had to be the supreme ultimate with the beef. And Kansas City's known for beef on its own, but McGonagall's takes it even a step further. And so you grew up with it being the best. So was your mindset then when you were doing the fresh berries and the fresh vegetables and the pies and the preserves that, you know, everything is going to be, I don't want to say natural because people say natural, I mean, it could be petroleum. So, you know, no artificial ingredients, nothing that isn't
right,
something you
right.
can read on a description for ingredients, those kind of things. Did that come across when you were building this with John, that it's going to be the best of the best as well?
Oh, I think so. And I think, again, it's an attitude, and I don't know exactly where it came from with myself, but my daughter corrected me not too long ago, and she said, Renee, you do not have to do A-plus work for everything you do. Once in a while, a B will do. And it just kind of made me laugh, because if I'm going to do something, I want to put my heart and soul into it. And I have to admit, I was spoiled by really good food growing up. I'm super healthy these days. And I attribute that to my mom and dad and feeding their 9 children well.
It's amazing.
And, it's amazing. So, I was a bit spoiled, but I knew what food was supposed to taste like. And back in those days, in the 50s and 60s, when I was growing up, there was not a lot of artificial stuff in our food system.
Right.
And I grew up learning how to make do and making things. I'm creative. I majored in art at Kansas University. So that end of me pushes me onwards to do other things.
Did you cook with your grandmother and your mother? And I mean, were you making jams and stuff like that?
Actually, my grandma taught me how to make pies. And that was my mother's mother.
Ah.
She was German. And my dad did a lot of the cooking at home because he had the market and mother cooked too. And because I was number two and I was a girl, the top of the family, mm-hmm. I learned to cook too for the family. We all had our nights to cook. So,
I bet,
yeah,
with nine kids, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the restaurant, and then we'll get into more of the preserves and pies, et cetera. But, you know, you have a huge menu. It's amazing. And people can go in there if they're a vegetarian, if they're wanting a good, you know, grass-fed burger. You have the homey goodness, but you also have a lot of healthy choices with quinoa and kale and, you know, a lovely assortment of salads. You have the farm-style fried chicken and pot pies and a Dungeness crab melt and, you know, just anything you want is in that menu. How did you design such a menu with such a, you know, there are a lot of selections.
There are a lot of choices,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
It's evolved, and I have to say, I'll take credit for the home-style comfort food mm-hmm. that is on the menu.
Yeah.
And a few years back, about 5 years ago, we hired just a wonderful young man as a chef, and he's brought a lot of innovation to our menu. And I do believe food is somewhat trendy, and you have to keep your eyes open to that, because the modern consumer, they take that for granted. They want something exciting when they go in a restaurant. So we have tried to provide that to the public and to our customers, who have known us since we started with a very, very simple menu back in 89, and that was pot pies, salads, soup, and of course our fruit pies. It was a very simple, simple menu. Mm-hmm. It's grown over the years, and we've added mm-hmm. things, and it's really hard to take them away when you get customers coming in and saying, oh, I want the meatloaf.
Right.
I want the beef stroganoff.
Right.
And so we try to keep it. We've separated our menu into Lynn's Classics, and then the other things that have come along mm-hmm. later, they're differentiated too. So it's always kind of fun because we get to expand, and just generally we don't contract much, which sometimes can be a problem.
Right. I was going to say, I bet that's hard, because I would think
it
sometimes
is.
You would have to, you know, take away a little, because otherwise, you know, the menu, you'd be spending the first hour just reading it. So I would think it's like a, you know, a happy medium so that you can, you know, turn over those tables.
Exactly. Exactly. And it does. It does kind of take care of itself. The good thing is, we have grown enough that we have enough volume that we can move through those things on the menu. Because quite honestly, in the restaurant business, if you don't sell a little bit of everything every day, you're going to be sitting on it. You're going to be wasting food. That doesn't happen with us.
Good.
So we're fortunate that
way,
too.
Yeah, it's good to hear, too, with all the amount of food that gets thrown away, you know, that you're cognizant of that is really important.
I hate waste. I like to make the best out of everything. So that's kind of my mantra.
Well, the food was really delicious. We tried a variety of things, and everything we tasted, the homemade goodness just came through, as well as the pies. Let's talk about the olali berry, because I had never tried one before coming to Cambria.
That has really become the cornerstone of our business. We early on planted olali berries. I had never heard of them until we came out here. And we knew someone who was selling pick-your-own berries close by, so we went and picked the berries out of their berry patch, and we were so impressed with the flavor when I made a pie that we started looking, and we talked to the farm advisor here in the county. He suggested that would be a really fast turn on a crop, because you can plant them and you have fruit a year and a half later. So we pursued that, and we have popularized it, almost to the point where we can't find enough berries, because our land, our growing farm, is somewhat limited in terms of acres. But we have been able to seek it out and find the crop. But it's an incredible berry. It's a cross of a raspberry and a blackberry,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a blackberry. Mm-hmm. It has some of the tartness and the flavor zing of the raspberry. So it's just wonderful in terms of cooking. Fresh eating, it's a little on the tart side.
Mm-hmm.
But once you put it into, and I started with preserves, not pies. We started making preserves back in 79,
mm-hmm.
Because we had tourists coming through the area, and we had this pick-your-own berry farm out at our farm. They wanted something to take home with them. they didn't want to just pick a basket of berries. They wanted to say, I've been to Cambria, this is what I found. And so I started making preserves, and that just took off. And I found that that was more popular than the fresh produce. So eventually we've turned pretty much everything that we grow into product. That's value-added product, and that has really worked for us.
Do you take vegetables, et cetera? You do from the farm, right? Because when I had a salad, the tomatoes were from your garden, which is so nice to know that you're getting, vegetables and fruits just right down the street.
Well, the farm-to-table concept is so popular right now. And we did that from the beginning. I mean, we virtually used up everything that we grew. And it's still that way today. Our son, Aaron, has taken over the growing of the produce at the farm. He has things all the way from the lettuce for our salads to the tomatoes, mm-hmm. to zucchini, cucumbers, to green beans, wonderful vegetables. And our goal is to only use those in our restaurant. And we're pretty well there during the busy growing season from about July through October. And then we have to rely on other people's stuff after that. Mm-hmm. We still handpick a lot of the product that we use. And we're very picky about the produce. It's a big part of our menu.
Well, it shows in the menu. And when you're talking about preserves and your grandma, I have to tell you, my grandmother made the most amazing preserves as well. Her strawberry preserves, I think I even told you I had vacuum sealed, packed, and kept it for like 10 years. And then when I opened it, it was still glorious.
Still good, right?
It was glorious. It was just perfect. And I have to tell you, I am quite sad though, because you were kind enough to send me home with a variety of your preserves and they're all gone.
So, Nancy Jo, that can be remedied because we ship things nationwide.
I understand that, and I would love that, because I was eating your preserves every day until it was no longer available. So we will definitely do that. And I want to turn my producer and staff on to the Olala berries as well. I want people to know that you have ready-to-bake pies that people can get, that you have pumpkin bread, your Lynn mixes, and scones, which are divine. When you go to Lynn's, you also up the street or pathway, I would say, there's the original farm store, you have a gourmet goods store, you have a home style and easy as pie cafe. So it's really fun to go into these like old time looking shops. You do wedding cakes, you have a Christmas market over the holidays. I mean, there is nothing, if you're a foodie and you like home style food, that you won't find at your restaurant, at the Fruit Bin, or in these little shops in Cambria.
And if you can't come to Cambria, you can find all of our gourmet products online at linsfruitbin.com, L-I-N-N-S. That has become very convenient for people who know us but can't travel up here on a consistent basis. Our population in town is only about 6,000 people. During the tourist seasons, it swells to a whole lot more than that, probably triple at times. And we have been discovered. And this website does make it easy for people to continue to enjoy our product.
Oh, your catalog is terrific because you can buy an assortment. The way you've set it up makes it really easy. Again, it's Linns, L-I-N-N-S, fruitbin.com. Rennie, thanks so much. It was a treat coming to Cambria, experiencing it, and being able to meet your family and an extension of Kansas City and Cambria and your beautiful foods. And it was a lot of fun. So thank you for your hospitality.
Thank you, Nancy Jill. You are an incredible interviewer.
And now, Saber Says.
The Santa Barbara Wine Collective welcomes Raja Parr and Max Kogod for the Blind Tasting in Santa Barbara, November 16th. Raja has been on our show before, and when you want to talk to or listen to someone who knows everything about wine, Raja's the guy. He will be there with Max presenting an exclusive blind tasting of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir from Santa Barbara. Also, Burgundies for Sonoma, and learning is going to be part of the whole thing. Discover it at SantaBarbaraWineCollective.com. The 6th annual Holiday Spirits Bazaar is in New York City, November 19th. Sip your way through an unlimited array of holiday cocktails and punches. For more information, go to HolidaySpiritBazaar.com. And the 31st annual Galena Novu Wine Weekend is happening in Galena, Illinois, November 20th and 21st. For more information, go to NovuWeekend.com. The 6th annual Boca Raton Wine and Food Festival is taking place in Boca Raton, Florida, November 20th through the 22nd. Please your palate with more information at Boca Raton Wine and Food Festival.com. And the 9th annual Oak Street Po' Boy Festival is happening in New Orleans, November 22nd. For more information of this fun and musical happening, go to PoBoyFest.com. I want to thank Cambria, California, Hearst Castle, Indigo Moon Restaurant, and of course, Bogcatcher Inn for their incredible hospitality and generosity. I want to thank our guest, Randy Lynn of Lynn's Restaurant in Cambria, our engineer, Nellie Esfahani, and of course, our producer, Tyler Knowles. Talk to you soon.